Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma Ayin Gimel. God willing, today we're going to finish the seventh parak of the Masechta, maybe even begin the eighth parak. Deeply appreciate the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The memory of the learning that we do this morning will be Lezecha Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The Gemara yesterday went off on a little bit of a tangent. We were discussing, as we were finishing up the seventh parak of the Masechta, some of the basic differences between a Kohen Hedger versus a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is wearing Shmona Begadim, he's wearing Gezei clothing, and Kohen Hedger is only wearing four Begadim, and there are other very basic differences, but the Mishnah is really just focusing on the Begadim, being that we are just finished up, it gave a summary statement regarding the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, so just some of the most basic differences. The Mishnah talked about Begadim Alav. Yesterday's daf focused on the Begadim, spoke in detail. Regarding exactly how we weave every one of the begadim, talks about actually the composite of every cord that's used to weave every beged, and so the Gemara yesterday was very detail oriented regarding the begadim. Gemara went off on a number of tangents yesterday after finishing up the discussion of the actual fabric that's used for the beged, and specifically that of the appropriateness of somebody learning Torah. Somebody learning Torah. So it's not an academic pursuit, the Gemara says. It's really a means to an end. What's the end of learning Torah? So Yerushalayim. The Gemara says it very clearly in yesterday's daf that the purpose of learning Torah is to obtain Yerushalayim. The Gemara gave an analogy. Torah is just it's like an entrance, it's like a doorway. And the chatzer and the courtyard, that's Yerushalayim. So if you learn Torah but you don't have Yerushalayim, so it's akin to basically making a doorway but doesn't open up into a chatzer. It goes to nowhere. Okay, and then the Gemara spoke in very serious terms in terms of how important it is to have, while learning Torah, to have the proper midos, to have the proper behavioral conduct as well. We're going to continue along these lines. We have a little bit more Gemara to finish up. And the truth of the matter is that from here until the end of the parak, really we're going to be finishing up with the Kohen discussion, differences between Kohen Hedger versus Kohen Gadol. And okay, but that will resume again at the bottom of the Amud. To get to the bottom of the Amud, we're right in the middle of the Amud on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And right, we just did the doorway chatzer analogy. Amaluhu Ravala Rabbanan. It's right in the middle of the Amud. It's four lines down before the four lines up before the lines get wide. So the Gemara continues. Amalei Ravala Rabbanan Matusa Minaychu. I beg of you, I plead of you. Lo Tirtun Tarte Gehenim. Don't inherit two Gehenim. So what does he mean by that? Rashi writes. Take a look at Rashi. It's towards the top of the left hand column. Tarte Gehenim. Lo Yosi Gemba Amelam B'Torah B'Olam Hazeh. Meaning you'll spend all your days learning Torah in this world. But, explains Rashi, it's a problem. Velote kaimenu, but you don't fulfill the Torah. Meaning you're only treating Torah as an academic pursuit, but you're not fulfilling the Torah. V'tirshu gehenim b'moschem. So all the Torah that you learn is not going to help you. In other words, so Rashi says you only have a gehenim to look forward to. And meanwhile, v'chayechem lo ne'enesem olamechem. And not only that, but in this world as well, you know, you didn't even enjoy this world. Meaning all you did this in this world was learn Torah. But you didn't have the proper midos. You didn't conduct yourself according to the Torah. So the way Rava described it, it's like two Gehenims. It's one Gehenim in this world because you didn't get to enjoy the world because you pursued a Torah. On the other hand, because you didn't follow the Torah, so you have another Gehenim to look forward to as well. I'm Rav Yishuv ben Levi, my dechziv is Zos HaTorah Sheh Samoshe, Zach HaNasos Lo Sam Chaim, Lo Zach HaNasos Lo Sam Misa. Gemara here, Gemara in Kiddushin as well, back in Chavtes, Salamid. So the Gemara compares Torah to like a drug. And like all drugs, there are good drugs, there are bad drugs. The Gemara in Kiddushin describes Torah as being a perfect drug, right? The Gemara is on the pasuk v'samtem is at the very ma'ela, and the Gemara darshins in Kiddushin samtem samtam, meaning sam meaning drug and tam meaning perfect. It's a perfect drug. Right, every drug's got a side effect. Torah does not. No side effects when it comes to Torah. Over here, the Gemara, in a similar vein, compares Torah to a drug, but basically it can go in one of two directions. It can either be a drug, which would be helpful, or it could be a drug that could be hurtful. Behind Adama Rava, and Rava explains, Du uman la samadachaya. If you are literally uman, it means you're professional. But in this context, it means that you're learning Torah and you're learning it for the right reasons and you're learning Torah Lishma, so then Torah turns into a Sam HaChaim. It turns into a drug of life. The lo uman, but if you don't learn Torah for the right reasons and you're not learning Torah Lishma, so la Sam HaDamasa, so then it turns into a drug of death. Now, the Gemara elsewhere says that when you learn Torah, so first start off learning Torah Shalol Lishma, and Shalol Lishma is Baal Lishma. That's in the early stages. I'm suggesting that the Gemara over here that describes learning Torah Shalol Lishma, that's like at an advanced stage. Meaning, even at your advanced stage of learning, you're still learning Torah not for Lishma, not for its own sake. I'm Rav Shmuel ben Achmini, Rav Yonah, son Rami Ksiv, Pekudei Shem Yisharim, Mesam Chaylev. The learning of Torah makes somebody happy. Tzrufa. And another pasuk describes how it basically tzorfa. Tzorif is a smelting process. But basically, through the smelting process, you're burning. And it's not pleasurable, and it's not enjoyable to be burned. So zacha mesam chaso. So zacha, if you are meritorious, so learning Torah will make you happy. That is a reflection of the first pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev. And lo zocha tzorfasto. However, if you're not zocha, in the context of our Gemara over here, presumably that would mean you're not learning Torah for the right reasons, you're not learning Torah Lishma, etc., etc. So tzorfasto, so you're only going to get burned. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is very clear in its description. We're talking Yisurim, we're talking Gehenim, meaning it's not going to go well. Reish Lakish Amar Megufa Dekor Nafka. So Reish Lakish says, I don't even need two psukim to arrive at this conclusion. Because just look at that one pasuk that we just quoted and still arrive at that conclusion. How so? Zacha tzorfa so l'chaim, lo zacha tzorfa so l'misa. Meaning the smelting process can do one of two things. It could either purify you and cleanse you and do good for you, or if in the oven too long, it could do just the opposite. So it really, from the pasuk itself, you see that the distinction between zacha versus lo zacha. The Gemara here speaks to the properties and the benefits of learning Torah in a state of purity. Mahi, be more specific, what does that mean? So first marry and then learn Torah. Right? So by being married, so you no longer have a Yetzirah, or you have a way of sublimating your Yetzirah, and then you'll be able to learn Torah while being focused. Of course, are the pressures of life. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, again, going back to Kiddushin. I know I'm learning Kiddushin now in the high school, so my head's in Kiddushin. But the Gemara in Kiddushin recognizes that, and the Gemara says that was a comment of Rav Yochanan in the Gemara Kiddushin, right? Olbet Savaro, right? The yoke is around your neck, and you're going to be able to learn Torah, meaning that once you're married, you have the pressures of life, and it'll be very difficult. And so our Gemara takes a very strong position that first you should get married, and then you learn Torah. The Gemara in Kiddushin is kind of like the other side of the coin. It's not always going to work out. So and then there's a lengthy discussion. Rashi Tosfos over there. Okay. In the meantime, however, we're going to move on. Eidus Hashem Ne'amana Am Rabbi Chaya Bar Abba Ne'amana Hila Eid Belam Deha. Torah is going to end up becoming the witness, and it's going to testify, and it will testify. Right, this person learned me. This person did not learn me. So in other words, the Torah itself turns into the Eidus. It turns into testimony. Back to the Kohen and the Begadim. Maisa Roke, Maisa Choshev. Again, we're Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzava coming up. So we're going to see these terms. What do these terms mean? What is Maisa Roke? What is Maisa Choshev? Amar Rav Lazar. Shirok min b'malkim Choshev. So the Gemara says it's not two different processes. They're the same process. Meaning you are Choshev. You first plan, you strategize. And maybe you mark off on the fabric where you're going to embroider. And then what do? You embroider. So Maisa Roke, Maisa Choshev are two steps to the same process. And basically it's embroidering, but it's planned embroidering. Tanim Mishmei Rabbi Nechemia Roke Maisa Machat. When you see the term Rokim, it's Maisa Machat. It's embroidering with needle. It's needlework. Leficha Pirtzav Achad. So needlework, you only see it on one side of the fabric. Choshev Maisa. I'm sorry. Yeah, Choshev Maisa Oreg. But when you see the word Choshev, that's weaving. So weaving means that you're creating a pattern through weaving. And that means that you're going to see it on both sides. So therefore, you're going to see it on both sides. Could be that they're arguing with one another, Rebbe Lazar versus Rebbe Nechemia. Okay, possibly. We noted back in the Mishnah that there's a she'ela b'urim v'tumim. We asked the urim v'tumim if there's a question that's needed. The Mishnah gave us three circumstances, three instances in terms of who can ask the urim v'tumim. You're either a melech, you're a beis din, or you are needed by the community. In any one of those three situations, you have the ability to ask the urim v'tumim. That means the Gemara here is going to get very specific in terms of the process of asking the urim v'tumim. But basically, you're going to it's a way of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, you have a question that you're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you an answer via the urim v'tumim, and will be more specific in terms of how that process works. And the Mishnah says, and who does the asking? So the Mishnah says, "Ein eshan ela melcha abezden." Kohen Gadol adds the choshen eifon meil tzitz and ba'elu nishalim be'urim v'tumim. So the Mishnah is very specific that if you're going to ask the Kohen Gadol the urim v'tumim, he has to wear all shmona begadim. Okay. There's a large question which the Gemara is really not going to tackle. It never does, actually. And that is, what is the Urim V'Tumim? It's one of those things that we speak about again and again and again, and you'll hear it all the time, and it's never described. It's not described in the Gemara. It's not described in the Torah. So it's one of those things which we talk about, and then ask somebody, well, what is it? We don't know. So I told you yesterday...
Huh? The stones were worn in both, but in Darshan, then...
What, the stones?
Yeah.
I assume so, yeah, choshen.
So,
but that's a choshen.
It wasn't that the Urim V'Tumim, they asked the stones lit up?
No, I mean, the Urim V'Tumim, again, I'll go back to what I said yesterday. The way I described it, it's like the battery. It's like, it's what provides the power, the juice, so to say, to the choshen. And so that the letters on the choshen light up. But I'm ahead of myself. In other words, I haven't even described. And the Gemara is going to do that. The Gemara is going to describe that there were letters on the choshen. But we're not talking about the Urim V'Tumim. So there is no description. It's one of those. It's one of those things. It's a basic yisod that we just don't know the details. What is the Urim V'Tumim? So I mentioned yesterday. I'm just to reiterate today. So you see, Rashi on Chumash Rashi brings down that the Urim V'Tumim is the Shem HaMafarish, meaning the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is written down on a piece of paper and it's inserted into the Choshen. The Choshen, remember we described yesterday. It's basically a rectangular fabric that's folded over with the stone sewn in. From the front, and so into that pocket that's created, so the Shem HaMafarsh is placed in. That's how Rashi describes it. But again, that's a Rashi description, not to say that he's wrong, God forbid, just simply pointing out the Torah itself, neither the Gemara actually goes through the trouble of explaining to us what the Urim V'Tumim is. We just kind of, we say it, but there's no actual description. Be'elu nishalim be'urim v'tumim. So, if you're going to ask the Kohen Gadol from the Urim V'Tumim, so he's got to be wearing all Shemona Begadim. So the Gemara says, "Be'el and the Shalom Borim V'Tumim Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Begadim Shekolin Gadol Meshamish Behem B'Shulch Mechama Meshamish Behem." Okay, is it possible that there are two Kohen Gadols? Now, I'm not talking about the replacement Kohen Gadol. We'll talk about him in just a moment, but maybe, possibly, there is another Kohen Gadol serving at the same time as the Kohen Gadol, and that's Meshulch Mechama. You look in the Dvarim Perichof, and you're going to see in Parshas Shoftim a description of a Kohen known as the Meshulach Mechama. He is in charge of the army. I say in charge of the army. I'm not sure if he's the one who's going to be strategizing and planning, and not clear if that's his job. The Torah tells us that he has one principal job, and that's to get the troops riled up. That's not the right way to say it. But to motivate them, get them charged up for battle. Okay, you'll find it in Shoftim, right in the beginning of the parak in Perikhof, right? Kiseisel mechamal evecha v'risasus v'recha v'amrav mimcha lo sira mehem ki hashem alkech imcha hamacha meif mitzrayim. So don't get scared as you go into battle. Va'yakikar bechem al mechama v'nigash hakohen v'diber la'am. And so we have a Kohen now who's going to speak to the nation. From this point going forward, we'll simply refer to him as the Meshulach Mechama, which means that he's anointed, right? Like a Kohen Gadol is anointed. And he has status. He clearly has a particular status, but he also has a particular job. So Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, back to our Gemara, and Rav Dimi makes the following statement. The Kohen Gadol has to wear eight clothing. Without the eight clothing, he does not serve as a Kohen. In other words, he's a Kohen Gadol. So Rav Dimi says, same thing would be true for the Meshuch Mechama. He also has Kohen Gadol status. And therefore, when he does the Avoda, if he were to do the Avoda, he wears Shmona Begadim. Shenemar Vigdei Kodesh Asher L'Aron Yulavanav Acharav. The key word over here is L'Acharav. Meaning these special begadim goes to Aaron and to his sons, meaning when the sons take over, and Acharav. There's somebody else. So who's the mystery Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara Darshan, Slamisha Baba Gadol Acharav, the one who is also has a elevated position. So we don't know who else to turn to. Meaning, so Rav Dimi says, you know who it is? It's the Meshuch Mechama. So Mezer Rav Adabrav Avram Elakidi. So the Gemara now is going to challenge Rav Dimi. Is this really true that the Meshuch Mechama has Kohen Gadol status when he serves in the Beis Hamikdash? He's going to be wearing Shmona Begadim. It's not true. How do we know it's not true? The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Now, before we quote the Braisa, let's do the following. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives us background. Background, which is, he quotes from Torah's Kohanim. Meaning, as Rashi points out, this is really the end of a piece in Torah's Kohanim. And without the background, get a little bit stuck in terms of where we are. So if you take a look at Rashi, I'm reading the last Rashi on the Amud, on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And Rashi will start from where he starts quoting the Torah's Kohanim. It's about four lines down in Rashi. So, Reisha Debreisa Hachitanya La B'Torah's Kohanim. Gabe Asir Saifa. Okay, the Asir Seifa we've spoken about a number of times. That's a special mincha that's offered by the Kohen Gadol every day in the Beis HaMikdash. V'akon HaMashiach. Now, when describing the Asir Seifa, the Torah says, who brings it? The Kohen HaMashiach. Who's that? That's the Kohen Gadol. Ein le'al HaMashiach merubah begadim inayin. Now, that's only if the Kohen Gadol was anointed as the Kohen Gadol through oil. Shem Namishcha. Now, we know historically that's not always true. The Kohen Gadol sometimes was anointed, not with the Shem HaMashiach, because, quite frankly, wasn't there anymore. It was put away. Right? We discussed this recently in terms of who put it away. But sometime towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the oil was put away. So how, and there still was a Kohen Gadol after the oil was put into Geniza. How was the Kohen Gadol established at that point in time? That's the term Meruba Begadim. By wearing the eight Begadim, so now he's anointed as a Kohen Gadol. I say the word anointed, but that just simply means elevated, given the status of Kohen Gadol through the Shemona Begadim. So, Minayin Tam Alamer. Now, how do I know that if a Kohen Gadol was anointed, not with the Shemona Mishcha, but just simply Meruba Begadim, just by having to wear the eight clothing, how do I know that he still brings the Asir Seifa? Tam Alamer Viha Kohen. The extra Vav, the extra Hek, tells us that even such a Kohen is going to be offering the Asir Seifa. Yachush Animar Baf Meshuch Mechama. Now, what about the Meshuch Mechama? Should he also bring the Shemen Ham? Should he also bring the Asir Saifa? So, Tamalamer Tachtav Mi Banav Misha Beno Omei Tachtav Yatsa Meshuch Mechama Shein Beno Omei Tachtav. No, Meshuch Mechama does not bring the Asir Saifa because the Asir Saifa is brought by a Kohen Gadol, whose position gets transferred over to his son, and the Meshuch Mechama's position does not get transferred over to his son. Ominayin La Meshuch Mechama Shein Beno Omei Tachtav. Next question, obvious question. Well, how do we know? I mean, how come that's not true? How do we know that the Meshuch Mechama position is not an inherited position and doesn't go to his son? Tamalamar Shivas Yamim Yilbashim HaKohen Yasaseh Shein Roy Lavo El Oemo Lachaper Bakodesh. Because only for the Kohen Gadol who's serving in the Beis HaMikdash, only that position gets transferred over to the son. The Meshuch Mechama, who is not primary position, is to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so his position is not transferred over to the son. So, and by the way, the Rashi points out, is that true? Kohen Gadol's position is an inherited position. His son gets to be the Kohen Gadol just because he's a son. So Rashi here points out, again, quoting Torah's Kohanim, he's got first dibs. He doesn't automatically become the next Kohen Gadol, but he's the first consideration. So Rashi, quoting Torah's Kohanim, says, no, he's got to be worthy. But if he's worthy, so he gets first dibs over everybody else. Fine. Anyway, so what we got from this piece of Torah's Kohanim is that there is a fundamental difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Meshuch Mechama. Kohen Gadol transfers over his position to his son if his son is worthy. The kum mishoch machama does not transfer his position over to his son. There's no transfer. There's no inheritance, an inherited quality to the mishoch machama. Good. That's Taras Kohanim up until this point in time. Now we go back to the Gemara. We're on the last line of the Amud, where the Gemara is quoting from the continuation of this Taras Kohanim. Yachliye benosha mishoch machama mishamish tachtav kederach shebenosha kohen gadol mishamish tachtav. I might have thought that the son of the Mashiach Mechama will serve in the place of his father, much like the son of a Kohen Gadol, who serves in the place of his father, Tamud Lomar, Tapavayin Gimel Med Aleph, Shivas Yamin Yobashem HaKohen Tachtam Mibanav, Shiravol Olmoein, Mishiroi Lavol Olmoein, Mishiroi Lavol Olmoein, only someone who's fit to go to Olmoein. And the way the Braisa phrases all this, it sounds like the Mashiach Mechama does not serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Does not go to Olam Moed, doesn't serve in the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara now turns its attention to Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, what are you talking about? You say that when the Mashiach Mechama does the Avodah, he wears the 8 Begadim. Does the Avodah, 8 Begadim? It sounds like from the Braisa, he doesn't do Avodah at all. In fact, the Braisa says that's the entire difference between the Kohen Gadol versus the Mashiach Mechama. The Kohen Gadol does the Avodah, Mashiach Mechama does not. Rav Dimi, what are you talking about? So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Well, first, let's articulate the question. V'im Isa mechze chazei. So the Gemara says, if Rav Dimi is right, how do you understand the Braisa? He is fit. He, meaning the Mashiach Mechama, is fit, is qualified to do the Avoda. And why would the Braisa sound like he's not? Amar Nachma Yisach Achi Kamar Kol She'ika Mashiach Solo Omoed Yatzezeh She'ika Mashiach Solo Mechama. So the Gemara's answer is, no. We're talking about primary position. Primarily, a Kohen Gadol serves in the Beis HaMikdash. Primarily, a Mashiach Mechama serves in the battlefield. But that's the primary position. Mashiach Mechama can do the Avodah. But the distinction that the Braisa is making is coming from the perspective of what is their primary function. Period.
So this Mashiach Mechama cannot do the Avodah if the first Kohen Gadol dies.
Well, in other words, what the Gemara is essentially saying in defending Rav Dimi is, no, he can do the Avodah. But that's not his primary task. All right, so good. So that he's not the tachtav. He's not the segan. Okay, right. In other words, he could have been the one doing it. But we have a special job. In other words, again, because there are two basic positions in the kohen. One is for top kohen. One is for the Beis HaMikdash, and the other is for the melchama. So Amalei Abaye Elazar. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to him, it's funny, who's he talking to? Maybe Rav Dimi? Okay. Amalei Abaye Lazar Mashrisle. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So what are you suggesting now? Meaning, sorry, did I skip? Yes, I did. Yeah, all right. Every now and then that happens. I've noticed. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Achi Kamar Kol Sheikah Mashiach Hasolam. Oh, yes, it says Sheikah Mashiach Hasolam Mechama. Good. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges from another Braisa. Mashiach Mechama and Meshamish Lo Barba Kekoin Hejo Lo Bishmona Kekoin Gadol. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. What does the Mashiach Mechama wear when he does the Avoda? Well, nothing. Well, I mean, we only have two choices. Either he wears the four begadim of a Kohen Hedjot, or he wears the 8 begadim of a Kohen Gadol. The Braisa says, what does he wear? Neither. Well, but now, okay, Amar Le Abaye, Elazar Mashvisle. So Abaye says, oh, that's now strange. What is he now? You just turned him into a non-Kohen. Well, you want to do the Avodah? Okay, fine. But don't wear the 4 begadim, and don't wear the 8 begadim. Okay, do I have another option? No. That's it. So am I going to do the Avodah? No. So Abaye says, what's going on over here? So Elazar Mashrisle, Ela Kekoin Gadol. So the Gemara says, no. Really, fundamentally, he has the status of a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara here still supporting the position of Dimi. No. Fundamentally, the Kohen Mashiach Mechama is Kohen Gadol status. And really, if he's doing the Avodah, he should be wearing the Ebegadim. But Mishum Eva, Kekoin, I'm sorry. So Ela Kekoin Gadol, Mishum Eva. But really, he's not going to be wearing the 8 begadim because it'll create animosity. It'll create acrimony. Here we have now the Mashiach Mechama going to do the Avodah. What does he do? He puts on the 8 begadim. Kohen Gadol looks at him and says, wait a second. Right? There's... Oh, that's right. That's me. That's my job. What are you doing? So in other words, okay, so it'll create animosity. And Kekohen Hedro, Mishum Malim Bekosh, Vulam Maridim. And at the same time, to wear the Dal Begadim, that's also not appropriate, because he's a Kohen Meshuach Mechama, meaning he has Kohen Gadol status. And now he wears the four Begadim, that's you're diminishing his status. That's Malim Bekosh, Vulam Maridim. Okay? Which, of course, leads to the perplexing issue. And then what is he going to do? Okay, that's a problem, but we understand now at least how we got to that problem. So the Gemara says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you a Braisa. The author of this Braisa, whoever he may be, does not subscribe to the whole Eva principle, which we'll see why in just a moment. And meanwhile, he does not allow the Kohen Meshuach Mechama to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, once you take away the Eva issue, shouldn't he then be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, wearing the Eva Begadim? So let's construct the question. The question is going to take a little bit of time, because we have a lengthy Braisa that we need to get through. Let's start. Ditanya, we learned in the following Braisa. Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedjo. Basic differences between a Kohen Gadol versus a Kohen Hedjo. Skip the next three words. Parabal Kol Mitzvos. The bull, Kohen Gadol brings a special bull if he is chote. Masha'in Kain, a regular Kohen, is like you and me, meaning non-Kohanim. The Upar Yom HaKippurim, also the bull of Yom Kippur, is brought by the Kohen Gadol, not by Kohen Hedjot. Asiris Ha'efa, we just spoke about that. That's the Asiris Ha'efa, the Mincha offering that's offered by Kohen Gadol every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo Poreya V'lo Poreim, not allowed to grow out his hair, must get a haircut. The Kohen Gadol gets a haircut every week, right? I think that's right. So, Lo Poreim, and does not tear his clothing. And Rashi points out, this is also in response to Avelus, meaning that if a Kohen Gadol is an Avel, he does not have the Nihuge Avelus, does not tear Kriya, does not allow his hair to grow out. Aval Poreim Hu Melamata, but he can do like a modified version of tearing his clothing. Milamata, he does it from below. What exactly that means, I'm not totally sure. Rashi says, Shipule Begadav, the edge of his clothing. In other words, he does some sort of modified Kriya. Vehejo Milamala, but a recurring Hejo does regular Kriya. Milamala, from the top of the clothing. Vehemetami Lekrovav, and does not mean the Kohen Gadol. Is not metami for any one of his family members. If any of the Shiva Krov and the seven relatives die, so he does not go to the, he's not involved in the Kvura. Masha'in Kain, a Kohen Hedjot, a regular Kohen for the seven Krovim, can become Mitame. Or Mitzvah La Besula. Kohen Gadol has a Mitzvah to marry a Besula. Not true by Kohen Hedjot. Or Muzer Almana can marry a widow. Kohen Hedjot can marry a widow. Or Machzir Sarotseach. And Machzir Sarotseach, once you have a Rotseach who runs to the Ari Mikla and the Kohen Gadol dies, so the Rotseach Beshoge can go back home. Or Makriv Onain can offer a carbon as an onain, meaning bobayom, on the day of the death of one of the seven krovim, he has the status of an onain. A Kohen Hedjot cannot do any avod in the Beis HaMikdash on the day of aninus. Kohen Gadol can, ve'eino ochel, but he doesn't eat while being an onain. Eino cholek ve'notel, I'm sorry, ve'eino ochel, ve'eino cholek, and doesn't get a distribution. Venota chelak barosh, umakriv chelak barosh. As a Kohen Gadol, so you go first in line. Meaning there's a long line for either doing the avoda or eating from the karban. So as a Kohen Gadol, you have a fast pass. You go right to the front of the line. O mishamesh bishmona kalim. And you serve wearing the eight begadim. O patal tomas mikdash vekadashav. And you have an exemption from mikdash vekadashav. So this is based on the Gemara in Horios. Rashi says, see there for a discussion of what exactly the Gemara means. V'chol avodos Yom Kippur menek sheres alabo. And any activity on Yom Kippur, that's only with the Kohen Gadol, not with the Kohen Hedjot. V'kula nohag. Okay, fine. So that was a long list of things that are specific to the Kohen Gadol as opposed to Kohen Hedjot. Continuing. V'kula nohag is b'meruba begadim. Now everything we just got done mentioning would be true if you're a Kohen Gadol who was appointed through Shemin HaMishcha, or if you're a Kohen where you weren't appointed through Shemin HaMishcha because there wasn't any, but Meruba Begadim, but you wore the eight Begadim. Chutz mi par abal kol ha-mitzvos, except for the special par. Meaning the par that is offered by the Kohen Gadol is only offered by a Kohen Gadol who was appointed through anointment. But if you were not appointed through anointment, so then you don't bring the special par, you bring that just the standard carbon chatos. That's the only difference. Now, what if you temporarily served as a Kohen Gadol, as Rashi explains? Meaning there was a Kohen Gadol, he became Tamei, he was basically put aside for a week, a day, whatever, however long, and you served in the place, you were the Sgan, who was elevated for that week, and you served in the place of the Kohen Gadol, so now you have Kohen Gadol status. Even when the original coin comes back, even now you're still sitting on the sideline and not serving anymore. But everything we said is also true regarding the Meshuch Sha'avar, except for Par Yom Kippur and Asir Sa'efa. Except for the Par Yom Kippur and the Asir Sa'efa, those are carbonates that you don't bring if you're not currently serving as a Kohen Gadol. But for everything else that we just mentioned in the list, you have the status of a Kohen Gadol. V'kulan in Ohagas Meshuch Mechama. Now, everything we just mentioned is true by Kohen Gadol, is true by the alternate Kohen Gadol who served in his place, but it's not true regarding the Meshuch Mechama. Chutz mechamisha dvarim ha'amurim beparsha. Except for five things, which are true with the Meshuch Mechama. And that is lo pareya v'lo pareim. Doesn't let his hair grow out, nor tears his clothing as a result of avelos. Lo metame lekrovav, doesn't become tummy for his relatives. Umetzuva al besula, must marry a besula, mazal aman, and cannot marry a widow. These five, why these five? Rashi says, again, go to the Gemara and Horios for a discussion in terms of why this is so. It's based on drasha, whatever. These five. Umachzir, sarotzech, div Rebbe Yehuda, v'chachamam imeno machzir. The death of the Meshuch Mechama, does that allow the Rotschim who are sitting in the Ari Miklat to go back home? Debated. Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim, have a debate in terms of the death of the Meshuch Mechama will allow the freedom of the manslaughterers. Okay, now, fine. Period. That's the end of the Braisa. It was a lengthy Braisa. What do we get from all this, from everything we just mentioned in the Braisa? The author of this Braisa does not subscribe to Eva. How do we know that? Because the author of this Braisa says that the Sgan serves wearing the Eight Begadim. Okay? In other words, if the Sgan, who ended up serving at one point in time, wants to do the Avodah again, so he'll wear the Shemona Begadim. What? In other words, Kohen Gadol's right there, and the Sgan's going to come in and do the Avodah? Yeah. Because the author of this Braisa does not subscribe to Eva. And meanwhile, it says regarding the Meshuch Mechama, nope, he doesn't serve. So why not? Meaning, again, this all goes back to Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, if you believe that the Meshuch Mechama is basically the status of a Kohen Gadol, so why not let him serve? Now our answer to that question has been, up until this point in time, Eva. Because we don't want the animosity. Meanwhile, this Braisa clearly is not a believer in Eva, the author of this Braisa. And meanwhile, the Meshuch Mechama doesn't do the Avoda. This is difficult. The Gemara answers. The Gemara suggests, Ki leisle Eva b'tikavase, b'dezuta mine isle. So now the Gemara is going to split on when there's Eva and when there's no Eva. If the Sgan is doing the Avodah on the base of Mikdash, and again, at one point in time, he was acting as a Kohen Gadol. So there's no Eva. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol sees him as an equal. So if somebody who you view as an equal is doing your job, okay, I'm the Kohen Gadol. Truth of the matter is, he's my equal. At one point in time, I was out, he was doing the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says there's no Eva. But somebody who is categorized, classified as lower than him, i.e. the Meshuch Mechama, and he's going to come into the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to put on the Shmona Begadim, and he's doing the Avodah, who's he? Okay. So that's Eva. So the Gemara makes a distinction between what we'll call Big Eva and Little Eva. Okay, fine. That's the, and again, all this is a way of defending Rav Dimi. Yasser Rabbi Yabar v'kamer l'alhashmaita mishmei de Rav Yochanan. So Rabbi Abao comes and he reports everything we just said in the name of Rav Yochanan. Adrino, Rabbi Ami, Viravasi, La Apayu. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned away, meaning, no, Rav Yochanan didn't say that. But they didn't verbally disagree. It was kind of like a silent protest. Okay, they turned away. Now some have the version that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was the one who reported this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. V'adrin Rabbi Amin v'Rav Asi l'apayu. And in silent protest, Rabbi Amin and Rav Asi turned away. No, Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Now Matkev l'Rabbi Abba Bishlam Rabbi Abahu. The first version makes much more sense. Meaning, what makes more sense? The silent protest. Mishom Ikara de Bekesar. Rabbi Abahu was close to the Caesar. Rabbi Abahu had tremendous political clout. And so therefore, we don't want to directly contradict him. He's an important person, politically important. So for us to verbally contradict him, that's an affront. We won't do that. We'll turn our face away. So the first version makes sense. But, Elo Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Nemalei Meimar. But Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and I say this with all respect if I can, who's he? Meaning, why doesn't Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi just simply say to him, we don't believe Rav Yochanan said that. And there was no need for a silent protest. So the Gemara favors the first version and not the second version. Anyway, the Gemara goes on, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, Mimala Amar. Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, fine, period. He also Ravin Amar Nishal Itmar. Now, Ravin comes in and Ravin says, you know what we could do? We can give a totally different interpretation of the Braisa. Okay. Meaning, again, all this was difficult because Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says that if the Meshuch Machama wants to do the Avodah, that's fine, he'll wear the Abigadim. Good. But now, and we had Braisa after Braisa that was difficult for Rav Dimi, and we've defended Rav Dimi, and we're going to continue to defend Rav Dimi. Now, the most recent Braisa that we quoted, the long Braisa, that gave us a long list of differences between the Kohen Gadol versus the Kohen Hedjot. And the Kohen Gadol versus the Meshuch Machama. So one of the differences is that if you're a Kohen Gadol, you do the Avoda wearing the Eight Begadim. If you're a Meshuch Machama, you don't wear the Eight Begadim. Sounded like from the Braisa that the Meshuch Machama is not going to be doing the Avoda. And as we argue, the Braisa here does not believe in Eva. So how come the Meshuch Machama is not doing the Avoda? So again, so one answer is that this is more cause for Eva. Okay. Because the Meshuch Machama is Zutamine. That was one approach. The Gemara is now going to offer another approach. Ki asa Ravin Amar Nishal Itmar. The Braisa was talking not in terms of Avoda, but in terms of She'ela. Tanya Nami Hachi Begadim Shekohen Gadol Meshamesh Behem Meshuch Machama Nishal Behem. So the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Begadim to do the Avoda. The Meshuch Machama will wear the same eight Begadim, not to do the Avoda, but She'ela. But in other words, if you want to ask him of the Urim V'Tumim, so the Meshuch Machama, if we need to ask him a question, he'll wear the Eight Begadim, not because he's going to do the Avoda, but because we're going to ask him a Sheila. Yeah, in other words, Eight Begadim means, by definition, he's going to be wearing the Eifut, he's going to be wearing the Choshen.
So he's asking himself.
So, no, we'll get to the process in just a moment. The process is coming up. But in other words, but he's entitled to wear so that you can ask him. There's one Kohen Gadol, one Meshuch Machama. Two different... Again, what the Urim V'Tumim is, I told you at the beginning, it's a mystery. Let's leave it as a mystery. I'm fine with that. Tan Rabbanan. Ketzer Sho'alim. Okay, and so now, fine. So now we've ended the discussion of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was the one offering up that Meshuch Machama can do the Avoda, but if he does so, he must be wearing the Shmona Begadim. Okay, Gemara, for the most part, defends Rav Dimi. Ravin comes in at the end. We're not talking about doing the Avodah. We're talking about asking a She'ela. If you want to ask the Urim V'Tumim, the Meshuch Machama, just like the Kohen Gadol, can wear the Shmona Begadim, and now we can inquire from the Urim V'Tumim. Tanu Rabbanan Ketzer Sho'al and Hashoal Panav Kalpe Nishal. Okay, the one asking the question is going to be facing the one who's the question is being asked from. So the question is being asked from the Kohen Gadol, or as we just learned now, the Meshuch Machama. The person asking the question could be, I was going to say anybody. Under certain circumstances, it could be anybody. V'anishal panav kalpei shechina. Now, the Nishal, what is he facing? So he's facing the Shechina. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kalpe Orim V'Tumim. He faces the Orim V'Tumim. Now again, the assumption that the Orim V'Tumim is in the Choshen, so that basically means he's looking down. Okay, that's and that's what Rashi says. Shema Mafarsha B'Tocha Choshen. Meaning he's got the, again, Rashi consistently describes the Urim V'Tumim as the Shema Mafarsh that was inserted into the Choshen. So basically now, the Nishal, the Kohen Gadol, is going to be looking down into the Urim V'Tumim. Hashol Omer Erdof Acharei Agedut Hazeh. So the Gemara, as an example, says, so here the Shol is going to ask, should we chase the army? V'Anishal Omer, and the one who is being asked, meaning the Kohen Gadol will say, Karmar Hashem Alei HaVatzleach. Hashem says, go up and be successful. Now, he's answering, the Nishal is answering, not based on what he thinks, but based on what the Urim V'Tumim are telling him. How is the Urim V'Tumim communicating the information to him? We'll get to it in just a moment. Rav Yehuda Amar, Ein Tzarich Lomar Karmar Hashem, Ela Alei V'Atzleach. Now, the only point that Rav Yehuda disagrees with is, you don't need the prefatory comments of Karmar Hashem. It would be enough if you just simply said Alei V'Atzleach. It's understood in the context of the situation that you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Shalom B'Kol Shenemar V'Shalom. You don't have to ask in a loud voice. The pasuk says V'Shal Lo. Shal Lo means you ask him. In other words, the Kohen who's listening needs to hear, not everybody else. So it doesn't have to be in a loud voice. V'lo Mahar B'Libo, but you also have to articulate the question. You have to enunciate. Shenemar V'Shal Lo. Lifnei Hashem. Alekadeuch Sha'amar Chana B'Tfil Asa. So a good model in terms of what, how you should be asking, meaning the tone, not the tone, but the volume. Chana is an excellent model. Shenemar V'chana Hima Daberes Al Liba. Chana speaking to herself, meaning she's speaking in a quiet voice. She can hear herself, but others cannot. Ein Shalom Shnei Dvarim Ke'achad. One question at a time. You can't ask two questions. The Imshal Ein Machzir Ne'alachad. Now, if you do ask two questions at a time, you're only going to get one of them answered. Ein Machzir Lo Ela Rishon. And the one question that will be answered is your first question. Shenemar. Hayizgarenu Baale Ki'ila Biyado. Will Baale Ki'ila hand me over? Right, this is David HaMelech inquiring on the Urim V'Tumim and asking the whether or not he's being... Well, the king is entitled to ask, even if it's, in other words, from the Mishnah.
At that
point in time, I don't know. I assume, yes, he was being chased by Shaul. So is this after the anointing or not after the anointing? I assume it's after. Hayered Shaul. And in other words, there were two questions. Is Shaul going to come after me? And are the members of Ke'ilah going to hand me over? But Yom HaShem Yered. And the answer was Yered. So in other words, so David asked two questions, and we just pointed out you can't ask two questions. And furthermore, he only got one answer back. However, the Gemara pointed out, it's a little bit difficult, because we just learned that which question is going to be answered? The first question is going to be answered. The Hamaridim Machzir Nel Rishon. So David Sha'al Shalok Keseder Ve'achziru Lo Keseder. So the Gemara now on top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, well, he asked out of order. Meaning, first he should have asked, is Shaul going to come down to attack? And then the follow-up question, and are the members of Ke'ilah going to hand me over? That should have been the two the questions in sequence. He asked the questions out of sequence. And now he made the realization, and so now he backed up and he asked what was his first question, but should have been his second question. And Akash Baruch Hu says, "Yeah, Ke'ilah is going to hand you over. Run." Now, if time is of the essence, and we just simply don't have the time right now to go through question-answer, under certain circumstances, two questions can be asked at the same time. Gemara gives an example. Shenemar v'yishal David b'Hashem le'mor ha'erodof acharei ha'gedur hazeh ha'asigena. Should I chase the troops? Will I overtake it? V'yom alo redof ki aseg tasig. That should have been two questions, meaning question number one, should I chase? Number two, will I be successful? But time was of the essence, so he asked them both at the same time. And he was answered both at the same time. Now the statement, a proclamation, a declaration of the Urim V'Tumim is stronger than that of a Nevuah. Nevuah can be recanted. Urim V'Tumim cannot be recanted. Shenemar kamishpat ha'urim. The Torah describing the Urim V'Tumim says ba mishpat. Mishpat is judgment. You render a judgment. That's it. Lama nikra shmam Urim V'Tumim. Why is it called the Urim V'Tumim? Again, it's unbelievable. The Gemara, the Chumash never describes what it is, but we're going to identify what why the name Urim V'Tumim. So shemayir misdivrayim. I'm sorry. Urim shemayir misdivrayim. It lights up. And Tumim Shamashlimim Mistivrahim. And it completes, meaning as the Gemara just pointed out, Ein Achozer. He doesn't recant. The Im Tomer Begivas Binyamin Mibne Malo Ishlimu. Now there was an occasion in Tanakh where the Urim V'Tumim was inquired upon and it didn't go well. And that is the end of Sefer Shoftim. End of Sefer Shoftim. Last three Prakim, Perek Yotes, Chaf, and Chaf Aleph, so that's Pelagish Begivel. So there was a terrible event that took place in Sheva Binyamin. They were asked Sheva Binyamin for extradition of the of those that were involved in the rape and the murder. Binyamin refused to extradite, and the civil war ensued. And in Perek Chaf, so before they went out to battle in the civil war. So they asked the Urim V'Tumim. On two occasions, after asking the Urim V'Tumim, they went out to battle, unsuccessful. On the third occasion, they asked the Urim V'Tumim, and then and only then did they meet success. And the Gemara wants to know, wait a second, you told us the Urim V'Tumim says something, and it's Mishpat, and it's going to be. So the Gemara wants to know, why, by Pelegish Begiva, did we find that that's not so? Gemara asks, Gemara answers. V'im tamar begivim binyamin mibne malo ishlimu, heim shelo bichnu im latzech im lehi natzeach, uvachron shebichnu iskimu shenemar pinchas ben alazer ben aron omein lefanav v'yamim ha'em, leimor ha'osef or latzeis mechamam b'nei binyamin achi im echdal v'yom Hashem, alu ki machar enenu biyadecha. To put it simply, they didn't ask enough questions in rounds 1 and 2. They just asked in rounds 1 and 2, should we go to battle? And the answer was yes. They did not ask whether or not we're going to be victorious. Only in the third round did they ask, are we going to be victorious? And only in the third round was the answer yes.
But isn't it assumed that they're going to go into battle and going to be
successful? My response would be yes. And apparently both of us now are going to be wrong. Ketzan, just finishing up. Ketzan nasis Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boletus Reish Lakish Amar Mitzdarfos. Okay, what exactly happens when you ask them in V'Tumim? The letters will either, according to Rav Yochanan, stand out, they will protrude, or according to Reish Lakish, the letters will actually move around on the Choshen. What letters are we talking about? So there are 12 stones on the Choshen, and on each one of the 12 stones is one of the Shvatim's names written on it. Now, for time consideration, consider which letters are missing. So I'll tell you, because we're up against the clock. So the letter Tzadi, Ches, Kuf. In other words, I'm talking, we put together all the names of all the Shvatim, Tzadi, Ches, Kuf, Tzachak, and Tes. So those letters are missing. So we're going to have a response, but you're going to be able to respond by the letters either protruding or actually moving around, which is rather amazing because those letters are engraved. So I can only envision how this works. But we're missing letters, to which the Gemara says, Valok Sivu Tzadi. There's no tzadi. And the Gemara does not say this, but there are two other letters as well. And so how can you say minatzeach without a tzadi? That's difficult. So Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Avraham Yitzchak, Yaakov, Tziv, Sham. Okay. In addition to the 12 Shratim, there's also somewhere on the Choshen the names of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that takes care of three of our issues. But there's one more issue. V'halok Tziv Tes, but does not say Tes. Meaning, even with the introduction of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Amar Vacha BaYaakov Shifte Yishurin Ksiv Sham. It says Shifte Yishurin. Meizvei Kol Kohen Sheinu Medaber Beruach Hakodesh Shchina Shorah Alav Ein Shorah Alam Bo. Kohen Gadol must have Ruach HaKodesh, must have Shechina residing on him. Shari Shal Tzadok Ve'alta Lo, Ev Yasser Ve'lo Alta Lo. And the Gemara says, and how do I know this is so? Because David HaMelech asked, in the rebellion of Avshalom, David HaMelech asked, Ev Yasser the Kohen Gadol, didn't get a response, and asked Tzadok, and did get a response. Shenemar Ve'al Ev Yasser Atom Kol Ha'am, So Siyu HaMisayayu Be'hadayu. Okay, the Kohen would obviously be assisting in the Urim V'Tumim. So that means that the Kohen was a facilitator, but the Kohen had to have Ruach HaKodesh. Ein Sho'alan El HaMelech Menani Mila, the Gemara, just finishing up the seventh parak. I'm Rabbi Abao, I'm a Krav, Lefnei Elazar Kohen Yamod V'Shalom B'Mishpat Orim. So the Gemara basically dissects the Pasuk and goes through each phrase in the Pasuk. Who's a Melech? Chol B'nei Yisrael. Who's a Melech? Chol B'nei Yisrael, Ito Zem Ashuch Mechama, and Kol Haida the Sanhedrin. So the three principal people who can ask on the Urim V'Tumim is going to be the Melech, the Mashuach Mechama, who's leading the nation to battle, and the Sanhedrin. So those who have the ability. Huh? Doesn't sound that way, right? He's a facilitator, so sounds that way. Hajlach Balo Kohen Gadol. That's the end of the seventh parak. Tomorrow, God willing, tomorrow morning we begin the eighth parak. Tomorrow, Inuyim.